Let's go right to our next guest. On this first day of early voting in Connecticut, the Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas. I'm so glad to have you here. I just watched your interview on the Connecticut Mirror, and so many questions for you about this first day of early voting. Thank you for being here.
Bridget, for having me, and happy first day of early voting.
Yes, and man, you couldn't have planned a better day than with this weather, right? It just makes you want to get outdoors and go do your civic duty.
Exactly.
How important is it for Connecticut residents to be able to vote early?
I think it's incredibly important. You know, over 60% of voters voted on the ballot question when it was offered in 2022. And I just got some updated numbers. As of about 10 minutes ago, 20,000 people have already used early voting. And just to give you a sense of comparison, during the presidential primary, over all 4 days, only 17,000 people had showed up. So it looks like
something.
It's incredibly popular, and the weather is certainly helping.
Yeah, you know, we just got off the phone with one of the candidates, and he was telling us that that's what he was hearing, just anecdotally, that a lot of people were out and about casting their ballots. So a little bit of background for people. I didn't realize that this passed in just 2022. We were the 47th state to do it. Why hadn't it been done before? Was it that it entailed a change to the Constitution?
I think that's exactly right. Most people don't realize some of our election law is built into our state constitution. So in other states, the legislature can just go in and make a change. And, you know, it's just like business as usual. But here in Connecticut, it requires the amendment. And to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot requires a few more hoops to jump through. But it did make it to the ballot in 2014, along with a broader question about universal access to absentee ballots. But people usually don't know when a ballot question is coming, so it got left blank. A lot of people didn't know what a yes meant, what a no meant, so it failed in 2014. But it came back in 2022, and here we are.
Right, and then you said 60%, so people wanted this. And, I mean, what were you hearing about why people wanted the opportunity to vote early?
You know, it's funny. As I was holding on the line, I heard all the news stories from today, especially the trapped construction worker.
Yeah.
I'm happy there's likely to be a positive outcome, but it underscored for me what I heard from everybody when we were discussing early voting in the legislature. I was a state rep then. Emergencies happen. Things happen every single day. Imagine that construction worker's family. Do you think they're thinking about voting right now? Absolutely not.
So true.
So if those emergencies happen on election day in the past, you were just out of luck. So we heard from groups like AARP, who was a huge proponent of this, because a lot of seniors rely on others for rides. They take medication and don't always know their good days from their bad days. And just about anybody who has a busy life, they wanted choice. They wanted to be able to go in person and vote, and not just on election day. So I'm really excited this day is here, and I'm more excited that 20,000 people have already utilized it.
Yeah, that is some number. And P.S., I mean, the rest of the week, we don't see any rain in the forecast until I don't even know when. Sunny through
exactly.
Sunday, if you can believe it. So in this time since the referendum passed, have you been able to get the word out? In other words, I mean, the numbers are promising. Do you think most people in Connecticut are aware that they are able to vote early?
You know, I think the word is slowly but surely getting out. We've had two elections so far, even though it was only open to Democrats and Republicans, but, you know, the word got out. We did not have funding to do a huge advertising campaign, but we were able to work with a lot of our partners and be on radio, digital, social media, of course, and we have about 500 sort of collaborators, I would say, different from grassroots organizations to state agencies like the Department of Transportation, who really help us get out nonpartisan civic-related information. So I had my fingers crossed, but I wasn't sure how many people would show up. But it's certainly encouraging that more and more people are hearing about it.
Okay, so let's talk about the really practical stuff. So I want to vote in the election. I'm listening to our interview with the Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas, here on WICC. What do I do? And I say, I today's beautiful. I want to get out. I want to vote early. What do you do?
Okay. First thing you want to do is write down our website, myvote.ct.gov, so that if you forget anything I'm telling you, you can find the details there. But a lot of people get confused. So early voting is only in person, and it's eligible to every eligible voter. So you don't need to fill out an application. You don't have to let anyone know you're coming. You don't have to do anything special. It's much like showing up on Election Day. Someone will check you in, you'll vote, and the only difference is your ballot will be sealed in an envelope, put in the receptacle, and not opened and counted until Election Day. And as you said earlier, every town has one location. Mansfield, Connecticut has two, one on UConn's campus. And you can just show up there and vote anytime between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on all days except two that have extended hours, October 29th and October 31st. You can go from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And now Okay. You know why I gave the website.
Okay. And I will keep giving it out, too. And we'll keep on giving it out here at WICC. And you mentioned Mansfield, right, the home of UConn. That would make sense that they would need two locations. Are there any other places? Is there like a qualifying number when it comes to population in order to get more than one site?
No, it's based on every town of 20,000 or more people. Their legislative body has the right to open additional locations or keep it to one. I think most towns didn't know what to expect, especially after the low turnout when we used this in April. So I think everyone thought, like, let's have one location, get it under our belt, and then, they'll be open to additional locations in the future.
We are lucky enough on this first day of early voting in the state of Connecticut to have the Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas, with us live on Newsline. Thanks for sticking around. So you gave out the website earlier, myvote.ct.gov. So, Secretary, if I were to go to that website today, let's say I wasn't sure where I could vote early, that website will tell me where to go?
Yeah, in that website, there's a blue box at the top of the page, and there's a really great resource we were able to put together this year for the first time, and that's a statewide voter guide. So not only can you find your early voting locations and the details around it, but we also have the candidates for a ballot, clicks to their website, links to their website, and information about the ballot question that every Connecticut voter gets to weigh in on, another constitutional amendment.
Okay. All right. And when you go to your voting site, what will you see? Will you see an old-fashioned paper ballot?
Yes. Yes, Connecticut has never moved away from paper ballots, and I suspect we won't anytime soon. So you'll still, when you show up, it looks very similar. You'll still get the ballot. You'll fill in your ovals. The only difference is instead of feeding that ballot into the receptacle, that ballot will be sealed so that those results are kept confidential, and that's what will go into the secure receptacle and then not opened and counted until Election Day.
Okay, and so with not doing that old that punch card method, I'm guessing that after 2000, with all the hanging chads, and it just became a national punchline. I'm guessing that we're never going to go that way.
No.
Yeah, it seems inefficient. a little bit more about the turnout. And as you say, and I suspect as you and I have been talking, the numbers might have changed already. You said some 20,000 people already voting on this first day of early voting. The Secretary of the State, Thomas, what do you think that is? Do you think it's that people are just so energized that they feel that there is such that there's so much at stake, that this is such an important election? What do you suspect?
I think it's certainly an election that a lot of people have been looking forward to casting their ballot in. So there's certainly excitement. I know I heard candidates when they were outdoor knocking were telling people, hey, if you vote early, guess what? People know you voted. They don't know how you voted, but they know you cast your ballot, that you checked in at early voting. So you might stop getting those phone calls or those text messages. And I think some people just want to get it out of the way because you don't know when one of these unpredictable life events might happen. I think everyone has their own personal reason. And I think that is the point. We want people to be able to vote safely and securely on their schedule in accordance with what works for their life. And I think early mm-hmm. voting provides that.
So if you voted and that is then known that you voted, not whom you voted for.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't get robocalls at dinner?
Well, you know, I can vouch for the federal campaign.
You can't guarantee that, right?
But I do know that the state-level campaigns and the local-level campaigns do look at that information, and they may indeed stop those robocalls, text messages.
Okay. You have a shot of getting one.
It's a great incentive to vote early.
Gosh, isn't it, right? Isn't it? Oh, that would be fantastic.
We all get too many.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't get to ask you about absentee ballots. Now, that's a whole separate issue, right? How does that work? If you can explain that, like what qualifies you, I suppose, to vote via an absentee ballot?
Sure. There are six legal reasons in Connecticut that enable you to vote by absentee ballot, and those are the only reasons. One, you're overseas, you know, active member of the military or overseas citizen. Because of sickness, physical disability, your religion prohibits you from performing secular activities on the day of the election. You are working as an election official, like a poll worker, in a town other than the town in which you live. And you will be absent from your town at some point on election day. But I like to explain it this way because people often get it wrong. Let's say you own a business, I don't know, a restaurant in your town, and you work very long hours, and you wouldn't be able to go to the polls on election day and work. You would not be entitled to an absentee ballot. However, if your restaurant was in a town other than the town where you worked and you had to travel to that other town, then you would be entitled to an absentee ballot. And because it's so confusing, this is exactly how the ballot question has ended up on the ballot this year. There is a question about amending the Constitution again that would allow Connecticut to, again, follow most states and adopt what's known as universal access to absentee ballots. Because imagine this, you say you can't vote by absentee because you're going to be out of town. No one's coming to your house looking for your airline ticket or, you know, verifying that information. So a lot of states realized this decades ago and changed their laws to have universal access because they're not in the business of policing your excuse. So
right.
They said,
how could they tell? Yeah.
So they decided to let the voter decide when they wanted to vote by absentee. So Connecticut has a chance to weigh in on that. And a yes vote would mean that our state legislature would go back and talk about it and decide what a program might look like for Connecticut. And a no vote means we stick to those same six excuses.
Okay, but under the current rules, would you have to have asked already at this juncture for an absentee ballot, or is there still time?
There's still time. Absentee ballots are due no later than the close of polls, so 8 p.m. on Election Day. You can either apply and vote it in person at your town clerk's office, and you can just, you know, that usually takes 5 minutes max. You can also apply online. You can get an application from your town clerk. You can mail it in. You just want to keep in mind U.S. Postal Service delivery times. So I would allow 5 to 6 days each way.
Okay.
But once you get your ballot, you can also, if you don't have time to mail it back, you can also drop it in a drop box or drop it off at your town clerk's office.
All right.
And again, all of this is in the voter guide.
Okay. Yes. But, and let me do the plug again, myvote.ct.gov. But we got the information right from the source, the Secretary of the State of Connecticut, Stephanie Thomas. What a pleasure chatting with you. Hope you come back on the show real soon.
Anytime, Bridget. And thank you for having me. And get out there and vote, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Great day to do it. A beautiful sunny day. Thank you again. And next here live on Newsline, let's talk a little bit about Dolly Parton.
My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore.
Now, you know, Dolly Parton never forgot her humble roots. And because of that, in part, she has launched this incredible effort. It's called Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, and one of the beneficiaries of it is the Middletown Library in Connecticut, the Russell Library in Middletown. And director Ramona Berkey is live with us on Newsline. I'm so happy to have you here. I saw this story and I thought, wow, you know, Dolly, she does a lot of good, doesn't she?
Everybody loves Dolly, Bridget, and thanks so much for having me here today. Yes.
Oh, so great to have you here. So what I've been reading, I guess she actually started this a while back, if I have the right information here, back in 1995. But Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, explain it for our listeners, if you would, Ramona. It basically, what, gives free books to young kids?
Yes. Every child in participating areas, towns, can sign up to have one free book per month mailed to their home until they hit age 5. And this is regardless of income. There's no income determinant. So any child who's interested in reading, having a book sent to their home every month can sign up.
Oh, that's great. How, if a parent is listening to this and says, wow, I'd really love to have some more books in the home, what would be their first step?
They would go to imaginationlibrary.com, which is Dolly's website, and they can put their address into that website and find out if there is a program in their town. If there is, they can sign up right then and there. And if not, they can put their information in to be contacted when and if a program does become available.
Okay. And could they also just go to the Russell Library or one of the Connecticut libraries and get information and have a library? Librarians, by the way, you know, you guys are just so, so helpful and such. No, I mean it. Just such a tremendous resource. Could they go to you and get help, too?
They absolutely can. In fact, in Connecticut, we have a wonderful reciprocal borrowing program. And what that means is you can use your library card from your hometown in any public library.
Okay.
You can check out books at any public library. And that's pretty rare across the United States. So we're very lucky to have that.
Yeah. And now, as far as this program goes, Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, how long have you been doing it at the Russell Library?
Well, gosh, it's been about almost 3 weeks now.
Oh, okay. So still pretty new. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very exciting. And we already have more than 300 children signed up here in Middletown, which is a tremendous response, seeing as how the census says we have just under 2,000 children total under the age of 5 in Middletown. So that's just a wonderful rate of adoption here already.
Wow. I'm not going to begin to try to do the math on that, but that would seem like a pretty high percentage. Okay.
Yeah.
So if folks are interested, they can go to the Russell Library. They can go to any Connecticut library. As you point out, we have this wonderful reciprocal relationship. And what are some of the other local libraries, Connecticut libraries, that have this same program?
So far, we're the fourth behind Stratford, Hartford, and New Britain. So a little ways to go, but, you know, we were fortunate in Middletown to receive American Rescue Plan Act funding locally, which allowed us to kind of pilot the program for the first couple of years. And then we have some community partners who are interested in helping us to make it sustainable financially after that period of time. So, you know, I would encourage all towns in Connecticut to just go on the Imagination Library website, see what it might cost to provide this for every child in your town, and then maybe talk to some potential funding partners.
Mm-hmm. So there is the hope that this will program will broaden further throughout the state of Connecticut. That's great. So then the kids, did you say that they get the book sent right to their house?
Yes, they're mailed directly from Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, handles all of the selection of books, the mailing, et cetera. We have a contract, a relationship with our local post office. And so the library doesn't actually handle the books or choose the books. But if you go on the Imagination Library website, you can see a list of the books that are chosen. And they're very carefully chosen. They're based on the child's birth date. And so, you know, if you're an infant, you're not going to get a book about, you know, starting kindergarten soon. But if you are approaching age five, right, you will. They're developmentally appropriate books. They are diverse books. And I believe there's at least one title per year that's bilingual in English and Spanish.
Oh, wow. That's great. Could you give us I love to hear the book titles because I find that my kids are older now. They're in their 20s, but it seems that a lot of the classics are always classics when it comes to kids' books. Could you tell us some of the titles?
Oh, yes. If you're familiar with Eric Carle, there are some Eric Carle titles in the list.
Oh, I sure am.
Llama, Red Pajama. Yes, there's that one. There's a title called K is for Kindness. There are some alphabet books. You know, The Snowy Day, that's a very a classic as well by Ezra Jack Keats. So a mix of newer titles, some classic titles, and obviously developmentally appropriate titles.
Oh, my kids love the Eric Carle. Was that the caterpillar?
Yes, the Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Thank you. Okay, I couldn't remember exactly what the cat. He was hungry, right? Okay, I remember now.
Very,
very indeed. You know, this is just such a great thing. And Ramona, I feel like, you know, when a kid starts to get interested in reading, it really can be a thrill to get a book in the mail. I mean, you wait. I remember my kids used to subscribe and get some like book series. And, you know, the day it came, did it come in the mail today? Did it come in the mail today? I tell us how it might really engender a lifelong love of reading.
Well, you know, reading a book is exciting in and of itself, but getting a book in the mail is almost even more exciting. Something with your name on it, it's addressed to you, you know, as a child. Very exciting. It starts really young with children, really from birth. It's that experience of sitting with an adult in their lap, feeling secure, that social emotional learning piece where, you know, you're looking at a book together, you're learning kind of the mechanics of, oh, you know, we're looking at this book and those sounds and those words that my caregiver is saying to me, those are actually represented in the book. And as the child gets older, they realize, well, those squiggly marks must have something to do with the words that are being said. And then they gradually start learning the letters and again, the mechanics of reading. And it might not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal because when that child ends up in school, they've had that foundation instilled in them really from birth on. And studies have shown that the more books a child has in their home from when they're teeny tiny, the better chance of success they have later on in life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe it. And we are back live on Newsline here on WYCC with Ramona Berkey, who is the director of the Middletown, Connecticut Russell Library. And Ramona, we were just talking about the program Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. If you're interested, you can go to, as you said, imaginationlibrary.com. You can check in at one of the many wonderful Connecticut libraries. And I thought this was so interesting when I was reading the article about this program. I guess Dolly, her father was illiterate, right? Have you read that? Mm-hmm. I played the song in the introduction, the Coat of Many Colors. You know, she never forgot her really, really humble beginnings.
Yeah, you know, and that was really formative for Dolly. You know, it was really challenging growing up in a household with a parent who was illiterate, and obviously that did have a big effect on her, and really sort of led to her absolute commitment to early literacy for children.
Right. It's fascinating. Her father didn't know how to read, and here she is, like this great lyricist, yeah. a writer, right? Yeah. So let's talk a little bit, about you, Ramona, and also in studying up on this topic, I read that this is an important program near and dear to your own heart. Your mom mm-hmm. Didn't get to go to college, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. She always was, however, very focused on education and literacy for me. But I will say, you know, and she made opportunities for us to go to the public library and made sure we had books in the home. But it was difficult. We sometimes had to walk, and it was miles to the library, or sometimes we'd be fortunate to get a ride. So I understand that, you know, not every child, you know, again, regardless of income and family circumstances, not every child has the opportunity to get to the public library on a regular basis for whatever reason. And so it's programs like this that do get those books into children's homes from a really early age that can be incredibly, incredibly transformative. I know, you know, having books in my home was transformative for me, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I absolutely, I understand and I know the power of books.
Yeah, I for me too. We were lucky enough to be able to order some books here and there from the local bookshop. And I just, you know, again, I remember the thrill of, you know, my mom telling me, hey, you know, your book came in and we can go to the shop and get, I mean, it was that made a day, a great day in my world, you know, so it's really
absolutely
lovely. Yeah. So, Ramona, before we go, I mean, what else would you tell our listeners to do if they have a young child or a grandchild? And, you know, you might be tempted every now and again to just say, OK, here's my phone or here's an iPad or whatever. Why is it so important to put a book in their hand instead?
You know, there is something about that physicality of an actual book in your hand and turning the pages and being able to carry the book around with you and show it to your caregiver and you know, at some point be able to read either letters or the words on the page. I'm not saying there's no place for electronics. I understand we're in, you know, 2024, but there is absolutely no replacing that experience of, you know, sitting on a caregiver's knee and cuddling and feeling safe and secure and turning the pages of a book for a young child.
Oh, well said. The director of the Russell Library, Ramona Berkey. Ramona, thank you so much. And I don't think you need it, but good luck with getting the word out about this wonderful program at one of Connecticut's many terrific libraries. We thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bridget.
All right.